seasonal allergy sufferers are feeling the sneeze and the wheeze lately, but what's the science behind those allergies?
Our next guest is a science writer who looked into some of the latest research. Maggie Kurth-Baker joins us. She's science editor at boingboing.net. Maggie, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, you're based in the Midwest. How are your allergies, if any, so far this year?
Mine are okay. My baby daughter has had a runny nose for the last couple of months, but otherwise I think we're doing pretty good.
Yeah, I've been on and off fine and then bursts of sudden sneezing for no apparent reason. Well, let's get into that runny nose you mentioned. If my nose is running during allergy season, what am I getting out of it? What's the function of the runny nose?
Well, the interesting thing is that we don't really know what the function of the runny nose is. You know, there's been some speculation in the past that having your nose run could be your body's way of trying to sort of flush invaders out of your nose. But that doesn't totally match up with the data, and so researchers are sort of left thinking that we don't necessarily even have a reason why your nose runs, that that could just be a side effect of this process that happens when you get something into your body that your body thinks shouldn't be there, even when it doesn't really matter, which is the case with pollen.
Yeah, I always assume that this is a way of ejecting the stuff that's annoying us, but apparently maybe not.
No, yeah. I mean, for one thing, pollen shouldn't even be something that annoys your body. It's not something that's a threat. It's not something that's really particularly dangerous. And having your nose running doesn't necessarily do the job of, like, you know, getting the pollen out of your nose. So it could just be a side effect of what happens once this whole immune system response gets going. You end up with a domino effect that leads to a runny nose, even though the runny nose doesn't help you in any way.
That's one of the most annoying side effects, and it's doing nothing. I find that kind of annoying, actually. Who do I complain to about that? Well, and then speaking of weird allergy things, when we meet an allergen for the first time, like if I'm going to be allergic to a particular kind of pollen, say, am I going to react to it the first time I run across it?
No, actually. So the way that the whole system works is that your body has to encounter the allergen first. And that first time that it encounters the allergen, it starts making this stuff called immunoglobulin E, which are these little receptors that the next time you encounter that allergen, they will then tell these cells called mast cells that are filled with histamine, which is the stuff that you've heard about with antihistamine medication. Mm-hmm. It tells these mast cells to release all this histamine into your body, and it's the histamine that causes the symptoms that we think of when we think of allergies. But that process doesn't happen the first time. Like I say, your body has to encounter the allergen once, then have the time to make all of this immunoglobulin, and then the next time you encounter it, if you've got enough immunoglobulin, then the actual process starts. So the process of going through and making that immunoglobulin can take 4 to 6 weeks. So depending on the kind of allergy the kind of allergen you're talking about, it might be something where you move to a new place and you encounter pollen and you don't have an allergy until the next spring, because the first spring your body was just in the process of preparing to have allergies the next time.
So it could trick you. I might think, oh, my spring allergies are gone in this new place. How happy. And then not learn the truth until a year later.
Right, exactly.
So when it's doing that, and that first encounter, the die is already cast, right? Your body knows it's going to start getting ready to react to it. It's not meeting in committee for 4 to 6 weeks deciding whether you're allergic.
No, it's not. It's not deciding whether you're allergic. It's in the process of making the immunoglobulin that is going to launch that allergic reaction the next time.
Now, it seems like I hear about more people getting allergic, and that just could be who I know or where I live or something like that. Are allergies, diagnosed allergies, getting more common?
They are, actually. 50% of the population is now allergic to at least one thing in the United States, and we don't really know exactly why that is. You know, there's this idea that you've probably heard of called the hygiene hypothesis, which is basically this idea that, you know, we've gotten these much cleaner, much more sanitary lives in the past 100 years or so. And maybe if you have a life that's too clean and too sanitary when you're a small child, your immune system never learns how to not freak out over every small thing it encounters. And if it never learns that, then maybe you have more allergies when you get older. The problem with that is that there are some good reasons to think that that doesn't totally explain the increase in allergies in the U.S. I mean, for one thing, you have 50% of Americans who aren't allergic to anything. But when you go back and look at their childhoods, they haven't had any less hygienic childhood. You know, it's not like they were rolling around in the dirt, and so now they don't have allergies. And your mom kept you too clean as a kid, so now you do. There's just some people who have allergies and some people who don't, and more people who did in the past, and we don't know why.
Is it possibly a case where we're just better at diagnosing allergies and we would have just ignored it in the past, or are we really seeing an increase?
They do say that we are really seeing an increase.
Okay.
I'm sure that there is some element of, you know, we have medication, more medications to treat this stuff now, so people pay attention to it more, and maybe you have something that you think is a cold, that is actually a cold, but you think is allergies, and, you know, there's a lot of stuff. If you aren't actually going to the doctor and getting diagnosed, it's easy sometimes to mistake one thing for the other. But the experts do say we are seeing more people with more allergies.
Getting back to the hygiene hypothesis, is that being abandoned now, or are they trying to drill down finer and see if there's something more specific that we're overlooking?
That's certainly not being abandoned. It's something that does explain some things that we see, but just doesn't seem to explain everything. So what the scientists are really trying to do now is sort of try to figure out whether the hygiene hypothesis actually is an explainer of some of the things that are going on with allergens, but then also what else could be contributing to this? Because it seems like right now, you know, the hygiene hypothesis could be part of what's happening, but it's probably not the entirety of what's happening. So they need to kind of get more down into that data and figure out what else is there. Because, you know, you have things like, for instance, asthma is the same sort of response with, you know, the immunoglobulin and the mast cells and the histamines, just like we have with a runny nose, but it's just in a different place in your body. And asthma rates are actually going down as a whole throughout the U.S. and in other Western countries, but those countries haven't gotten any grubbier childhoods lately. Right. So meanwhile, you have small specific populations in those countries, like African Americans in the U.S. who live in poverty, where asthma rates are rising, but childhood hygiene hasn't really changed in those communities either. So there's clearly something else going on there beyond the hygiene hypothesis, and we just need to study this stuff more and figure out what that other thing is.
One other mystery you wrote about is placebos, maybe for some allergy sufferers, being effective. How would that work?
Well, it's kind of a weird thing is that, you know, experts tell me that placebos work really well to treat your allergies. So the placebo effect for allergies is around 20 to 40%, which is really, really high. Hmm. And it means that, so for instance, people taking Claritin, you experience a 46% improvement in symptoms. But in the same study, you have people who are taking the placebo who saw their symptoms improve by 35%.
Wow.
So, right, yeah. You know, so there's not much of a difference between the placebo and the actual drug. Part of that issue is probably the fact that, you know, this is qualitative symptoms, not quantitative symptoms. You know, nobody's sitting there measuring the amount of snot coming out of your nose. This is all like, do you feel better today? How did you feel? And that can get sort of messy when you actually start trying to quantify those qualitative ideas. But then another thing is also that, you know, the FDA does its studies on allergy medications using people who are already experiencing allergy symptoms. If you didn't do that, then you wouldn't necessarily know, you know, if you took a bunch of people who weren't already experiencing allergies and you started testing an allergy drug on them, well, you wouldn't know which ones it actually worked for and which ones just weren't going to get allergies to begin with. So there's a good reason they do that, but on the other hand, it means that it's hard to separate the effectiveness of the allergy drug from just the normal cycle of how a seasonal allergy works. You know, it peaks and then it falls off, and if you wait long enough, it's going to go away anyway. So there's a lot of confounding factors here, but there is still just this signal that you know, to a certain extent, you can make yourself feel better by thinking that you should feel better. And whatever you happen to attach that to can't help.
Well, I'll try taking some placebos this season. Maggie, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks a lot for having me on.
That was Maggie Kurth-Baker. She's science editor at BoingBoing.net.